You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I am Gwen Ela, and I am the only nurse in the room explaining why the risk is worth the reward. Our poor population can't afford to stay home. A lot of them are in the service industry, and a lot of them can't even afford to isolate at home. These people need to be protected. The people who can't afford to isolate.
It seems that the only thing we've been able to count on lately is change.
And we're really interested in how you all are doing and adapting in these uncertain times.
Because we're always so inspired by your stories.
So we're continuing to feature all different types of experiences and different points of view.
Someone brilliant once said, "Stop looking for the new normal. That ship has sailed. All we have is what's happening now." So we named this Thursday edition of The Only One in the Room, The Now Normal.
And you can expect a new episode from us every week, as long as everything keeps changing.
And don't forget to look out for our special Sunday edition and tune in every Tuesday when we bring you a brand new, amazing episode of The Only One in the Room. We are talking to Gwen Ela. Is that correct, Gwen?
That's right.
Yes. And we're so excited. Gwen is a really good friend of ours. I've known her for a long time. And Gwen, before we start the interview, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Tell me, what is the food that lifts your spirits while you're working? Like, will you look in the break room and say, "Yay, someone sent what?"
Sugar.
In any form?
In any
coffee.
Form? Yeah, coffee, sugar, anything like that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're like the coffee and donut crew.
Are you fond of
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Of the big like Starbucks cardboard container?
Yes.
Oh,
the Jo2Go?
Jo2Go.
Yes, yes. And what kind of donuts do you like?
We're not picky. You know, when you're running around like a crazy person and you're just grabbing something to shove in your mouth to go on, it doesn't kind of matter what it is.
Right. Mm-hmm. So probably not a whole cake that you have to cut, like things that you can literally grab. Yeah.
Nothing shareable right now.
Okay. Right. I forgot about that. Thank you for that reminder. Great. Well, thank you for that. And I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is the only one in the room, the now normal edition. But I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hey, honey.
Hey, hun. Okay, so this is what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Now that the coronavirus vaccines are being distributed, the first people to get it have become de facto ambassadors for it, reassuring the public that it's safe. And as U.S. states figure out how to roll out the inoculation, some people are wondering whether to get it at all, often because they're scrolling in online communities where emotional anti-vaxxer anecdotes spread faster than accepted science. Here with us today, we have Gwen Ela, an LAC-USC registered nurse. Gwen works in MedSurg and lives with her husband and 5-year-old son here in Southern California, where we live. Not only was Gwen one of the first people to receive her COVID vaccine that we knew, she also helped convince her mother, who is also a nurse, to get her vaccine as well. So welcome, Gwen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. We're so excited you're here.
It's the only way we get to hang out with you.
I know, right? Uh-huh. We're just going to like send you a clean feet line once a week. Right? Hang out with you.
That's awesome.
Okay, so Gwen, you're a med-surg nurse at County USC, right?
I am.
Can you tell folks what that is and where it is too?
Sure. So the med-surg is the floor in the hospital. You'll hear this referred to on the news that patients are going to the floor. It's, you have the ICU is where people go when they're super, super sick. Mm-hmm. And they get a little better, but they still need, they're still acute. They need monitoring. That's the step down. And then where you're doing better, you're more stable, you're on the floor, you're on the ward, the med surge.
Okay.
Basically where we are, our patients are either getting worse and we're sending them to a higher level of care, or they're doing better, we're treating them, and then we end up discharging them.
So after they get to you, if they've been in ICU and they get down to your floor, the next step, if they're getting better, is to be discharged.
Exactly.
Okay. And then sometimes you see patients, and we'll talk more about COVID patients, but they don't do as well on your floor and they have to go either back to ICU or you're sending them to ICU.
Right, or the step down, exactly. Yeah.
Do patients who come in through the ER get sent to med-surg first unless they're in acute care?
Yes.
Okay, so when they're admitted, they usually come to you unless it's ICU or surgery.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered, and we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
This episode is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, Happy New Year, hon.
Happy New Year.
Here's a riddle for you.
Okay.
What kind of oil locks in moisture and allows entire formulas to penetrate deep into the dermis? Mm.
Penetrate deep into the dermis. I have no idea.
I didn't know either, but it's meadow seed oil, which is one of the amazing secret ingredients, not so secret anymore, in Voyage AC's organic shea butter balm. This balm, hun, is amazing, thick and concentrated with shea butter and all these other hydrating oils like neem and sweet almond oil. I slather it on at night and my hands just soak it up.
Yeah, your hands are really soft even after washing and sanitizing them all day long.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why I keep it on the nightstand.
Yep.
Voyage AC has absolutely everything you need. Amazing gifts, faux fur throws, beachwear, diffusers, clutches, beach bags, clothes, gorgeous mix and match gift boxes, and this amazing organic shea butter balm. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all of our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy. Believe me, it adds up.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
And then County USC, can you just tell people where that is?
It's downtown. It's really close to Skid Row. It's Mission Street, Marengo. There's a lot of stuff that's been shot there. It's got a big history on television.
Yes.
It's the big general hospital that we no longer are at. They built a new building right next to it, probably, I don't know, like 10 years ago. But we still use the old general hospital for certain things.
All right, great. And Scott and I both wanted to make sure that we thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, what you do is incredible. And we, as a society, owe you a debt of gratitude. But he and I just personally wanted to say that.
You're our heroes.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for your work, and all the voices that you give an opportunity to have on the show are incredible.
Mm. Oh, thank you for that.
Thanks.
So you, speaking of voices, you've been very vocal and opinionated on social media about safer at home, about the importance of wearing a mask, of social distancing, washing your hands. Can you talk about that a little bit and tell me why?
This virus is wily. It's different. I mean, it's still coronavirus, but it's a different coronavirus. It's incredibly infectious. It's very dangerous. It's very unpredictable. You don't know which way it's going to go. And anybody, you could have a young person with no comorbidities that ends up, you know, needing a lot of care. You could have somebody with lots of comorbidities who ends up just going home on a little bit of oxygen. It's very hard to predict. And so for all those reasons, we need to be following all the CDC guidelines, washing hands, social distancing, wearing our masks, and really following our local orders, which right now is stay at home.
Right, right. Comorbidities, what does that mean?
So these are all the things. Somebody might have like diabetes, hypertension, all these secondary illnesses that make somebody a little bit more vulnerable to this virus.
Right. And I think that a lot of people feel if they don't have those comorbidities, that they don't need to be as cautious. What do you say to them?
It's just wrong. It's a myth. It's a myth. I think that's one of the sneakiest things about trying to understand and educate the public about this disease is that it's a gamble. It's just a gamble. You just have no idea how it's going to affect you personally. You just don't know. It could be a mild cold, or you could end up on a ventilator because the high flow oxygen isn't cutting it for you. You just have no idea. And why take that risk? And not only that, but this virus is so wily, you can be completely asymptomatic and be carrying it and be spreading it, which is something totally new and scary. And I think it's very hard for people to wrap their heads around something that they cannot feel personally, like, it, you know, especially if they get it and it's mild, they don't think it's a big deal, or they don't have any symptoms at all. It's hard for them to understand how wily this virus is.
Yeah. So is that what one of the things that makes COVID different, that you can be asymptomatic and be a carrier?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that is scary. It's almost like ghost mode or something, you know, like,
exactly.
Yeah, it shapeshifts, right? And so that the carrier, being completely unaware, goes on life as usual, right? Unless they're doing what you suggest and what our orders are from our state officials, which is to stay at home, wear masks, and social distance, and wash our hands when we are in contact with people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for those posts. And I'm going to tell people to follow you at the end of this so they can continue to see it, because... Tell me like what your work week looks like.
Let's see. The work week, we work 3 days, 12 hours in theory. and we have 5 patients each. If we have a high flow COVID patient, we are not cohorting on my unit, so we have non-COVID patients as well as COVID patients.
Oh, okay.
And those COVID patients could be anything from someone who is asymptomatic, which we're discharging, you know, or they could be incidentally COVID, like come in for a trauma because we're a trauma center.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been in a car accident and it turns out they tested positive.
Right.
To somebody who needs oxygen but is satting well, they're doing well with like 2 liters of oxygen. To somebody who is decided to be do not resuscitate, DNR, DNI, we call it, do not resuscitate, do not intubate, and they're on a high flow oxygen machine on our unit. And the nurses that have those patients currently are 4 to 1. But, you know, ratios for nurses are changing really all over the country, but in the state, you know, ratios are changing and nurses are having to take on bigger patient loads. So
yeah.
We haven't done that yet, but you know, we're expecting something like that.
It's
soon.
Coming.
Yeah.
So you work 3 days, you said 12 hours, but it's really for you occasionally more because you don't just like at the end of your shift and cut out most of the time. Right.
Yeah.
But you do have a family at home and you have you have a 5-year-old son. That's a little kid. And I can't believe he's 5. We talked about that yesterday. So what my point was that you have this really kind of jam-packed work week. You have a jam-packed family life. And you've taken time out still to make sure that you post and kind of warn people and tell people about what's really going on. Because so much of us are sheltered from the reality of what's going on, what you see every day. Your mother's a nurse in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, right?
She is.
And you said she started as a candy striper, which I love.
She did in high school. She was a volunteer.
And I just wanted to issue for our listeners, if anybody can send me, the first person to send me a picture of a candy striper, you'll get some Only One merch, because I don't know if a lot of people know who they are. Do you know what a candy striper is, then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm from that generation.
You're from that generation. I mean, I'm sure that, do they still have them, Gwen?
They have volunteers. They have young kid volunteers.
Okay.
They don't call them candy stripers
anymore. They don't call
them
candy striper. Okay. Yeah. So we'll be looking for the first person to send us that picture, because that's pretty cool. We'll share it with Gwen and her mom when you send it.
That's awesome.
So how did your mom feel about getting the vaccine?
She was really nervous about it. She was just scared, you know. Some people were telling her, like, well, we don't know enough. And that's the truth. I mean, we don't know. We don't know everything about this virus. We don't know everything about this vaccine. Of course, like, it was done so quickly, which is phenomenal. It's like this light years in science that they've been able to do, getting this vaccine together so fast.
Right.
But for me, to having this conversation with her, I was like, we have to look at, we do this in medicine every day, all day with our patients, with cost benefits of different medications, side effects.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Mom, you know, we know what will happen, or we know what the potential is if we get this disease.
Right.
And, you know, she's an ICU nurse. She's around COVID patients all the time. You know, we know that the longer you're exposed, you could have all that PPE on, but you're donning and doffing, you're putting all this stuff on, you're taking it off. The more you do that, the more there is of a chance of getting exposed. So I said, we know what could happen if you get this. It's like that. It's the possibility of ending up on a vent versus, you know, oh, who knows what'll happen in 20 years with the vaccine. Like there is not even a second thought for me about that.
Right. Yeah. But she was nervous.
Absolutely.
And then so
and understandably so, of course.
Totally. But how did you convince her?
I mean, I just talked to her about that. And I said, if you don't get this, I'm jumping in the car and I'm driving and I'm going to make you get it.
Okay, which leads me to her post. Her Facebook post was her holding up a sign looking very pretty. And it said something to the effect of, my daughter made me get the vaccine. Is that what it said?
Yeah. All the nurses had to write down a reason. Of course, Mom put that. Yeah.
That's so great. It's so great. Which vaccine did she receive?
Pfizer.
The Pfizer vaccine. All the vaccines are 2 doses. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So she got her first dose of the Pfizer vaccine in the San Francisco Bay Area where she is.
Mm-hmm.
Had you already gotten your vaccine, or were you getting yours at the same time?
I was getting mine around the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did your family, your husband, your son, anybody that's here in the Los Angeles area with you, how did they feel about you working at the big nation, one of the nation's busiest hospitals, or might be the busiest? I don't know. Your hospital's really busy.
It is really busy. I think my husband is just, you know, I think he's scared like everybody else. He's on hiatus right now for his job. So he's, you know, this whole time he's been holding down the fort, you know, taking care of our son. And he's just incredible. You know, he makes the dinners and gets everything, you know, puts our son to bed, and he's really the glue.
Right, right. And so he was looking forward to getting the vaccine. Was he nervous about it?
Absolutely. No, we talked about it. And you know, it's funny, you know, kids, my son said he caught wind that I was going to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I want it. How come I can't? Do I get it? I kind of had to explain, you know, well, there's not a lot of it. And then dad is going to get it. And, you know, us getting it is going to help protect you. They haven't made it for children yet. And, you know, kids are so smart and they hear everything. And we just have to be careful. You know, I don't want to alarm him. He knows there's a virus. He, you know, he's very aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is he doing remote learning?
No, he's been going to, it's like a daycare. They have a lot of essential workers that go there.
Okay. And so but they social distance and wear masks and all that stuff.
They do. Yeah.
So he's surrounded by the awareness all day.
Yeah.
Scott and I saw this piece on the news last night about this medical service here in L.A. called Concierge Web MD L.A. That might be wrong, but it's something like that. But the person who runs it, who is a doctor, was saying that wealthy people have been contacting him, offering to make very large donations to be cut in line and get the vaccine earlier than people like you, than healthcare workers or first responders or teachers. What do you think about that?
It makes my head explode. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, if these people saw what we do, I mean, we hit the ground running from like the second we're on the floor, giving meds, cleaning patients. You know, we're short staffed, of course. So mm-hmm. we do everything A to Z nursing. We're, you know, cleaning and turning and doing wound dressings and everything. And we're in high flow rooms with COVID patients, like taking care of them. And we have to get vaccinated. And then you have somebody who doesn't have any contact, especially, you know, you have people who are living in nice homes, mm-hmm. who maybe have yards, who can afford to have that, who can afford to stay at home. You know, our poor population can't afford to stay home. A lot of them are in the service industry, mm-hmm. and a lot of them can't even afford to isolate at home. So you have somebody who's going out, grocery worker or something, coming home, and they live with their parents.
Right.
And everyone's in the same room, or everyone's sharing the same bathroom.
Yeah.
So these people need to be protected. The people who can't afford to isolate need to be protected. So, yeah, it makes my head explode.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to happen, because that type of thing historically has always happened, is that some people do find a way to cut the line. But I hope they hear your words and think twice about it, honestly. We'll have a picture of you getting the vaccine, which I love that picture. How did it feel, and did you experience any side effects?
I teared up. I was so grateful. I just think about it now. It makes me so grateful. I'm so grateful for science, for this incredible advancement. I teared up. I was so, you know, they took the video. Everybody was taking pictures because everybody was so excited. And I was like, this is our Christmas present, you guys. Everybody agreed.
Yeah.
It was a really exciting moment.
Mm-hmm. And did it hurt?
I mean, it was a shot, but like I only experienced arm soreness the next day. And then that was it.
Okay.
There was nothing
else
for me.
Like a flu shot?
Like a flu shot.
Right. You get those every year as well?
Absolutely.
All right. I do too. And I'll, you know, when it comes time for us to receive the vaccine, I'll be getting that too, for sure.
Excellent.
So did anybody else, any other of the nurses and healthcare workers that you work with, did anybody experience any side effects that you would say were negative?
No, not that I'm aware of. People did complain of arm soreness. And right. That's about it.
Right. All right. So that's really good to know, actually. It's yeah. Because we don't personally know very many people. Like you and Natalie Gordon, who we talked about as our first COVID warrior, who works in the same hospital in the ER. We know that she got it. But I don't know that many other people personally who've received it. Do you, hon?
I don't, actually. Yeah. I've been kind of isolated.
Yeah. We have been isolated.
We have been.
So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions before we wrap up. What do you say to people that are still skeptical about COVID, saying ICUs aren't really full, people aren't actually dying, they just, it's like the flu, they're getting better? What do you say to them?
Call me. I put a thing on Facebook. I just said, PM me. Let me talk to you. Mm. Let me describe. I wish I could like stick a GoPro camera on my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do too,
and I'm not even in the ER. I'm not even in the ICU, but I have patients who come in. I had a patient who came in. He was completely asymptomatic. He was incidentally, they call it COVID, happened mm-hmm. to test positive, totally asymptomatic. 4 days later, all of a sudden his O2 is going down. He needs 2 liters, 3 liters, 4 liters, 5 liters, 6 liters. By 2:30 in the afternoon, I had him proning. That's where they lay them on their stomach. The bed was completely tilted down. I had called a code. There was 6 people in that room in bubble. You know, we're all in our big PPE trying to get the guy to get enough oxygen to transfer him, you know, get him a bed in ICU. I mean, he went in one day.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
And we have people who DSAT maybe over, you can tell that they're going to go because all of a sudden they need 3 liters. And then night shift says, oh yeah, they DSATed again. I had to put them on 4 liters. And you go, here we go. You can see the trend. You can tell almost about when they're going to crash.
Right.
It is very real. And it is completely unpredictable. It is not a black and white thing, which I think is very difficult for people to wrap their heads around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know somebody whose family got it. And, you know, it was like 2 aunties ended up in the ICU. One of the grandfathers passed and everybody else had a mild cold. And it just looked different mm-hmm. for all these different people. And I think it's just hard for people who aren't seeing it to wrap their heads around it if it's not touching them. And even then, I had a patient who was desatting. That means their oxygen levels are going down and down and down. And it wasn't until the respiratory therapist had to bring in a high flow machine because we were waiting for an ICU bed for him. It wasn't until they came in with that machine that he said, oh, this is serious.
Oh, wow.
And I said, yes, sir. Yes, this is serious. And he finally like let us turn him on his stomach. And he didn't get it until that. It's mind boggling how I'm like, what is the bottom going to be for people? Mm. I hope it's not going to be when they're in the hospital an event, because at some point there's not going to be enough events for everyone. We are there.
Mm.
So.
You know, you mentioned turning him on his stomach, and I know you and I had talked about that before. What is that? Why would you do that to a COVID patient? Turn them on their stomach?
It just helps move the fluid around in their lungs. It helps the, you know, this disease just like smashes your, all the little cells in your lungs that help you breathe
mm-hmm.
just get crushed by this disease. And so it just helps that air get into the different parts of your lungs. It's it's kind of magical, because when you flip these patients onto their stomach, and you know, my mom talks about having ICU patients, you know, they are on like a turn schedule where they're on their stomachs for maybe 16 hours a day.
Right.
They're just able to breathe better, and you'll see their oxygen numbers go up magically. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Wow. Wow. Ooh, girl. Okay. I'm just picturing the team of nurses that it takes to move somebody around like that. And then you all have to be in all of that gear, which you then have to strip it off before you go into like the next section of the hospital, or before you go, do you gear up before you go in to the COVID areas, or do you just wear it the whole time?
Well, we're not just strictly COVID.
Right.
So
right.
We have COVID patients and non-COVID patients.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, is everyone, it's terrifying, because you just know that if you do not doff that gear properly mm-hmm. and you do not get every little bit, you know, of your hands washed, that you could be carrying it out of that room. So we're very, very careful. You know, we've been trained really well in how to don and doff our PPE because we just don't want to be dragging it all over the unit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, of course. And you don't want it to penetrate to, you know, to hang out with you either because you're getting exposed every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, thank you for that service because without people like you, you know, Scott and I take every precaution, but if we were to get sick, we would hope that the people who need to take care of us are healthy enough to do so. You know,
yeah, it's a pleasure. I mean, I've had moments with patients who were dying and I whispered to them, it's like an honor and a privilege to take care of people. I truly feel that in my heart. And coming to this career as a second career, I am like, it is a calling to me now. Like, I feel like there was a purpose for me coming to this later, and I truly love it.
Yeah. You know, there was that new strain detected in Colorado. That is the more contagious strain, they believe, that has locked England down now, or London down. What do you see as next for you and your work? What's in front of you for the year 2021?
Survive.
Yeah.
No joke.
Like,
that's
no joke.
It. That's
yes.
It, yeah.
You'll just be kind of head down getting through the days.
Yeah. I mean, having a young kid at home, it's about being there for him, being healthy for him.
Yeah.
You know, making sure I'm not bringing work home. I need to be present, you know, mm-hmm. when we're playing our Legos and Star Wars and blasting at each other.
Yeah.
And I need to just mentally and physically, like, just need to take care of myself and we got to get through this year, and we have to turn this public, you know, anybody who's like a doubter, my focus is on like helping get the word out that this is a serious thing. If we have that strain sweep into California, like, that's terrifying. Christmas hasn't even hit us yet.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is going to start hitting, and then God forbid people go out for New Year's because it's going to get even worse. So
right.
I'm just praying that people stay in and take this seriously, because that new strain is scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And when you say Christmas hasn't hit yet, you mean the gatherings that people and the traveling, right? That people are being exposed to each other and therefore to the virus. And when those symptoms set in, if they become COVID positive, when the symptoms set in, they'll come visit you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually heard about some New Year's Eve parties on the news, one thrown by our current president. And it's horrifying that people are continuing to gather in the face of this, and disrespectful, I think, to people like you who gear up and do this work and leave their families for hours at a time to take care of people. So, yeah, I hope that 2021, your second dose of the vaccine will come in a week or so.
Is that January right? 13th.
January 13th. All right. Can't get here too quickly.
I can't wait.
And then, so wait, 13 or so days after that, you will be, it'll be effective?
Yes. Now, I know there was a nurse in San Diego who got positive, I think, 6 days after the first dose.
Mm.
But, you know, that's just the timing of the first dose only makes you like 50%. You know, you're only 50, you only have like a chance of getting it 50%. But that person was probably exposed, you know, before they got that vaccination.
Right,
but hopefully
right.
after the second one, you know, a week or so after,
yeah.
I'll have full coverage. So.
Yes, yes. Well, I hope so. And I hope that stories like hers are the exception and
yeah.
not the rule. I suspect.
Exactly.
That's what it'll be. Those are usually the ones that we hear about, right? We
right.
hear about those exceptions. And then tell me, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Gwen Ela.
Mm-hmm. Which is spelled E-L-L-A.
E-L-A. Sorry.
E-L-A, sorry.
Great. Yeah.
My bad. And you're not on Instagram or anything?
You know, it's too much.
Yeah.
I can only do one thing.
Yes.
Good for you. Way to know your limit.
Yeah. Well, you know, someone told me that you can only be great at one thing. You can do other things okay, but you can really only be great at one. So just to remember that. So you're doing great on Facebook and letting people know.
And we're trying to we're amplifying that voice.
We're amplifying that voice.
I really appreciate it. I really do.
Yes. And Gwen, thank you so much. Love to you and your family.
Mm-hmm. Be safe. And thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. Of course. We couldn't wait.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
The Only One in the Room has brand new interviews for you every week. You won't want to miss our full episodes every Tuesday, Scott Talks on Wednesday, and our new Thursday series, The Now Normal. And twice per month, be sure to catch our 30-minute Sunday edition by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to tell us about your Only One story. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.